the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue in the Gospel of Mark before we enter into the Lenten season, the reality of this healing work he was doing. The first thing he would do is the healing before the public ministry would begin. And last week we contemplated Simon's mother-in-law. This week it is the reality of the leper. And so the dynamic is clear that sin is leprosy of the soul. And so even though it is practical, as God required that a leper live away from the community so the leprosy would not spread, it is indeed far more symbolic of the reality of sin. And it's interesting because, obviously, as we contemplated last week, and it is still true for Catholics today, there is no separation between sickness and sin. Now, the Jews understood it in a different way, that you were sick because God was punishing you. Catholics understand it in the right ordered way, that we're sick because the original sin of Adam and Eve makes us vulnerable. The immutability that God gave to Adam and Eve in the state of original holiness was lost by the fall from grace. Therefore, they do get sick. They do age. Things can go wrong. Injuries can occur. So therefore, we as Catholics know that sickness and sin go together in the sense that we will not escape sickness, and when we are ill, it is always an opportunity for us to offer our sufferings up in reparation. Doesn't mean we suffer sickness with a smile, nor does it mean that we do not seek out any kind of treatment. But it does, however, mean the reality that we endeavor to suffer it well, not making life miserable for those around us because we feel so bad. And certainly we see the reality of those who do well with sickness, and of course those who do poorly. The bottom line is, as we thought of last week, sickness is always isolating because sin is always isolating. And that's what's missing in our cultural awareness today. As our culture has become so godless, it has now untethered itself from reason. And so we live in a state now where people want to declare that there is no such thing as sin. And it would be like the leper claiming that he was cured when he was not. The leper owed it to the culture around him to not spread the leprosy, therefore to live as they would often live, either in isolation or in some kind of commune, as it were. And they could not work, therefore they had to beg. And so in the dynamic, what sickness does to the body. It is a leprosy of the soul. And it always spreads. And so therefore we must be acutely aware of the sickness that we have. And that is why Holy Mother Church has given to us the awareness, the theology of the great gift that Christ himself established in the sacrament of penance. Because the sacrament of penance itself fulfills what Jesus said when he cured the leper. First and foremost, the penitent who goes to confession is aware of his leprosy. That is to say, he's aware of the sinfulness in his soul, which is obviously not as visible as, say, leprosy of the body. And so, in the sacrament of penance, it is when the penitent is like the leper, going to the Christ, recognizing his sickness, and saying, if you wish it, you can make me clean. Every time we go to confession, we acknowledge the leprosy in our souls, and we acknowledge the need of the divine physician, the only one who can heal us. And we are saying to him, if you wish it, you can make me clean. Consider the reality of the humility of that statement. We live in an entitlement culture. And there are those who believe that Christ owes them forgiveness even if they do not ask. It's those who believe, for example, that they're going to heaven no matter what they do. It has its roots in the arch-heretic Martin Luther, who said man has no free will and that man is nothing but a pile of dung. All Protestant theology is based on the mindset of the arch-heretic Luther, and that's why Protestants have that mistaken belief, once saved, always saved, unsupported by Scripture, unsupported by the words of Christ himself. And so therefore, too many Catholics who have lost their own moorings actually believe they don't need to go to confession. They will actually say what Protestants say, I don't need a priest. I don't need a priest to know that I'm forgiven. And yet, what is it that Christ himself does, recognizing that leprosy is symbolic for sin? What is it Christ requires of the man he cleanses? Go and show yourself to the priest. Why? Because only the priest, as we read in Leviticus, can declare the man as an individual ritually cleansed. He could not re-enter the culture, the society, without the priest saying that he is cleansed. What is often forgotten in our world of convenience and entitlement is that sin not only has a detrimental effect on us, but also on those around us and on the church herself. That is why you go to confession, not only to be forgiven by God, but guess what? To be forgiven by the church. And the priest represents the church, declaring you now ritually cleansed so that you can re-enter into her sacramental life in the fullest, by virtue of reception of Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, and the Blessed Sacrament, without any reservation, without any fear. Too many Catholics today receive the Blessed Sacrament without giving any proper thought. Too many Catholics today receive the Blessed Sacrament in an unworthy manner, which manifests itself, one, in not meditating and considering who it is you're receiving, not worshiping the Lord you're receiving, not giving thanksgiving for the Lord you have received, but worst of all, receiving our Lord in a state of mortal sin. Too many Catholics receive our Lord in a state of mortal sin deliberately. The church provides, of course, for those who need confession but could not make it. And the church says that if they intend to go to confession as soon as is humanly possible, then they make an act of contrition before they receive the Blessed Sacrament at the Mass. And canon law stipulates that they have to believe that they will be in worse state if they do not receive. But if one has no intention of ever going to confession, no intention because he believes that he can be forgiven just by asking our Lord, then he is presuming on our Lord's mercy, which is a grave sin in and of itself, and then he receives Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament in a state of mortal sin, which is sacrilege, which the church says is a sin worse than murder because it is attacking the body of Christ itself. It is forcing the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Christ into an unrepentant, sinful situation. It is like saying that Christ goes to hell, because only unrepentant sinners go to hell. No one falls into hell by accident. They go with pure intention. And therefore, the person that receives Jesus without being declared ritually purified by the sacramental graces of penance, if he's in a state of mortal sin, which is a direct tie to the cross of Christ itself, which is the only way you and I can know purification, once that has occurred, then we are indeed set, and yet humble. You know, this is why there's so much hubris in the church today. Because as our Lord said, he who has been forgiven little loves little. And therefore, he that does not go to the sacrament is not humble, and therefore lives in pride, and therefore he begins to see the world through his own prideful eyes. That's why the lepers are always alone. Sin always isolates. Sin always makes one miserable. And if one is not seeking the remedy, as this man who was given the gift of faith did when he went to the Christ, then one endeavors to make people's lives as miserable as their own, because misery loves company. That's why the devil wants company in hell. He is the most miserable of all entities. And so therefore, he wants as many in hell as he can get. And those who are in sin always want other sinners. They try to convert people to sin. The young person who has discovered the grave sin of pornography, just looking at it, by the way, is a mortal sin. He tends to share it with his friends. Misery loves company. The same with those who use illicit drugs and always anything that makes one go into an altered state or makes one lazy and indolent or is done for the pure pleasure of what it brings, that's always a sin. And they spread it to others because misery loves company. They know they are wrong, and therefore the only way to make themselves feel right is to have others fall into the same trap they're in. This is why the leper is separated from the society, because his leprosy spreads, and this is why Christ himself invented excommunication, why Christ himself said, treat the unrepentant sinner as an outcast, because they're dangerous to the communion of Christ, because they will always, always, always spread their sin, either through their actions, because once you've committed mortal sin, there's no faith, hope, and charity in your soul, and therefore you are incapable of faith, incapable of hope, and incapable of charity, and you spread that to everyone around you because you can't stop it. There's no such thing as a private, personal sin that affects no one else. There is no such thing. This is why our Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you seek what is best for yourself, you seek to be perfect, as Heavenly Father is perfect. You seek to cooperate with grace and avoid sin. But if you are given to sin, then it affects all your relationships, because with your relationship with God cut off, you cannot have a right relationship with your neighbor. Realize that if you deliberately break any one of the Ten Commandments, save number 8 that has a certain degree of gravity to it, you are in a state of mortal sin. If you've ever taken the Lord's name in vain, you're in a state of mortal sin. If you've ever made anything more important than God, the first of the commandments, you are in mortal sin. If you've ever missed Mass on Sunday without a legitimate excuse, did it intentionally, you're in mortal sin. If you have gossiped and destroyed someone's reputation, the church says that is the sin of murder. You're in mortal sin. You're in mortal sin if you're a child who lies to your parents, because it is grave matter to lie to your parents. You're in mortal sin if you lied to your priest, if you're a spouse and you lied to your wife. You're in mortal sin. If the wife lies to the husband, you're in mortal sin. You're in mortal sin, as Jesus said, if you look at someone lustfully and have lust in your heart. You're in mortal sin, Jesus says. You're in mortal sin if you covet your neighbor's goods or your neighbor's wife. You're in mortal sin. And if you receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, in that state, your sin is worsened. Why? Because you refuse to repent. Christ gave you the means to be purified, the sacrament of penance, and you refuse to use it. Do you realize that the sin against the Holy Spirit is unpardonable? That it will never be forgiven in this life or the next, as Jesus himself said? Do you know what the sin against the Holy Spirit is, blaspheming the Holy Spirit? It's refusing to repent of your sins. Refusing to believe that you need forgiveness, because it is the Holy Spirit that moves us to want to go to confession. It is the Holy Spirit that moves us to be humble enough to say, I cannot declare myself ritually pure. It can only be done by the priests. Why? Because Jesus himself gave this power to the apostles. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound. Would Jesus have given this power to the apostles if he did not expect the faithful to confess their sins to the apostles? The apostles were not, as far as we know, cardiognostic. Therefore, if one wanted to be forgiven of their sins, they had to confess to the apostles. And we know that they did. And in the early church, You confessed your sins in front of everyone, and you spent no less than 3 years as a penitent, wearing sackcloth and ashes when he came to Mass, sitting in a separate place, and you could not receive Jesus until your 3 years' penance were over. It is thanks to the Irish monks that we have auricular confession, where we follow what Jesus said when he told the leper not to broadcast everything that happened with him to the whole world, but to keep it between himself and the priest. And that is what we do in the sacrament of penance. It is between the priest, the penitent, and God himself, the priest acting in persona Christi. That's the marvel of this great sacrament, though, because we're going to our Christ and we are saying to the only one who can save us, if you will it, you can make me clean. And he says to us, I do will it. Be made clean. Any leper who dared to declare himself pure and then ran over to the society would have been killed because he's a danger. Any sinner that thinks that he can simply walk into the church and receive communion because God has forgiven him because he presumes on Lord's mercy has committed a grave sin of presumption and will commit an even graver sin if he dares to receive Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Blessed Sacrament. Because when you receive Jesus in communion, you are saying publicly, I am in communion with the church. I believe everything she teaches and all of her tradition from time immemorial. And I subscribe to the moral laws established by our Lord himself, and I live by them. And yes, I struggle against sin, because that's what I'm called to do, given my fallen nature. And when I fall into sin, into the peril, the great danger that it is, I'm not prideful, but I am humble, and I go to the divine physician himself, and I say to him, Lord, if you will it, you can make me clean. And he says to us those great comforting words, I do will it. Be made clean. What the Christ wills for us is salvation. You and I are the only ones who impede that. You and I are the only ones who try to wreck it. You and I are the only ones, because the devil oftentimes doesn't have to do all that much to get us to sin. We may want to think it's always him, but it's not. It's usually our own pride, our own arrogance, our own hubris. And it begins when we stop using the sacrament of penance. It begins when we start saying, I will decide what's right and wrong. I will decide if I need this or that. I will tell Christ how to be the Christ, and he better do it the way I want him to do it. Remember, the church in her precepts requires every Catholic to go to confession at least once a year. If you have not done that, you're in a state of mortal sin because you have defied the precepts of the church, which you vowed to make yours when you were confirmed. But you need not stay in a state of sin because the Christ affords you the cure, the healing. None of us should be stupid enough to be a leper and let everything just fall off, all the extremities and even our noses, because we're so proud of our sinfulness or so proud in ourselves. Because the spiritual leprosy that effectively disfigures the soul continues if we stay in a state of sin, and our conscience has become so hardened that the Holy Spirit can no longer penetrate our free will, and we no longer even seek to apologize for our sins. We become so comfortable in our sins that we believe God is comfortable in our sins, and God cannot be, because he is perfection. He is goodness, truth, and beauty. And there's no room for any ugliness, no room for any lie, no room for any evil. Not because he's so mean and nasty, but because he is so good. It is only you and I who are mean and nasty enough to expect him to condone sin. No, he wants to cure us, and he's given us the whole means to do it. You and I witness the reality itself at every Mass, the representation of the one true sacrifice of Christ, represented in an unbloody manner, so you and I see what mercy looks like, so you and I see what charity looks like, so you and I see how we can indeed be cleansed by the goodness of the Christ, if only we're humble enough, like this leper, to say to our Lord, Lord, if you will it, you can make me clean. And instead of declaring it ourselves, we hear from the Lord himself, I do will it, be made clean. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.